Amen. And I hope we get to stroll over heaven together one day. There won't be no phone calls with bad news, mama's dead, or so-and-so sick, or got to come see the doctor for a follow-up.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. And you won't have to deal with all that. And I believe one of the reasons the Lord's going to give us eternity, because probably going to take a couple million years to settle us down just enough to kind of tell us what's next, you know. But all right, settle down. And then we'll get stirred up. You get reunited with loved ones. It's going to be hard to describe it. Amen. It words out here almost illegal. Not lawful to tell how to try to put words, earthly words, around the heavenly thoughts. But we try. And I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to help us understand that it's real. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a reality for the believer. And thank God I got that blessed hope. We've been in the book of Colossians for several months, I guess. And we're finishing up chapter 3 tonight. If you'll turn there with us. And preaching verse by verse is great way to preach and study the Bible. It's a challenge to the preacher, the one that delivers the message. And if I believe my heart to those who receive it. I've had people say, you know, preacher, I'm just not getting fed. Well, not saying that's impossible, but it's not probable when a preacher preaches the Word of God and you get some verse by verses through teaching and preaching and Sunday school and things like that. Somewhere along the way, there might be a few cold plates here and yonder, but most of the time you're going to have food to eat.
Amen.
And that's right. It gets us to this place now in the bottom part of this chapter where we're going to be talking about work ethic. And I can't even think of one thing that I've ever applied in my life scripturally that, didn't help me. Now, some things I may not understand the benefit quite yet, and it may be eternity before I do understand it all better by and by. But this is one of those things that I put to use when I learned it, and it immediately changed how things went for me where I worked. It changed that. I know some people who have 50 to 60 different jobs, and they're half my age. I have, thankfully, had very few, about maybe can count them all. And I'm not counting the church as a job, but I'm talking about the places I work. Being able to keep those few jobs and stay there 15 years and 5 years and things like that. One, I've had a few right before I took the church here, when the place I worked at went out of business, kind of, you know, bankrupt and you're gone. It's hard to, after 15 years the same place, it was hard to figure out what's going on. And I was going to find myself and start a whole new career direction. And for 3 months, I didn't do nothing. I was pretty lazy. I couldn't file for unemployment because I made too much money at the church I was pastoring, they said. So I got mad about that, and I was trying to look for the same kind of place I had, and it wasn't there. Finally got to work at the hospital there as a patient transporter and a radiology assistant, and got in there for about a year. But I don't like a lot of change. But when I learned how to put some of these things to work, at work, it changed a lot in my life. I know some people I've talked to over the years that they criticize, always blaming everybody else at work for why they couldn't stay at work. Why they, you know, somebody was against them, or the boss was against some of the employees, or whatever are the conditions. And even this will come out to you that are retired. If you thought you were going to get out tonight, even the retired can be focused on here. Now understand, this is talking to servants, which we in the modern, on our American understanding, we call them slaves. We've had slavery in the history of our country, which I believe was an ugly part of our history. But understand that slavery or servitude and masters and servants was not a black and white thing only. The Jews were Jew on Jew. It could very well be that some of you could have been enslaved by another person of your same race. You would be the slave and they would be the master. Sometimes people would sell themselves into slavery because they went into debt, because they were going to lose everything. If you ever studied the book of Genesis in the time of Joseph, when he was dishing out the corn there to all that during the famine, people were selling everything, their land. They sold themselves as slaves just so they could eat. And so, obviously, in the history of our country, this is something that's behind us, should have been, it should be. But how do we apply it now? Well, I think the best way to apply it now is you and your boss. You and your manager, you and your supervisor. If you're the boss and you are over, you're a master over, don't get crazy now. Don't be thinking you go to work and say, hey, the preacher said I'm the master. You may be working by yourself real quick. But we can apply it. But it's not the same, obviously, as those who were real servants. Because there were Christian slaves in the context of when this was written. Slaves who had gotten saved. The book of Philemon is a short little book. You ought to read it. But Paul was writing a letter about Onesimus, who was a runaway slave who got saved, met Paul in prison, got saved. He sends him back with a letter back to his master and says, if he done anything to aught against you, any kind of problem, you put it on my account. When you got Paul writing something like that, you just overlook it, amen. You say, Paul is speaking on the behalf of the character of this man now that he's a Christian. Well, they were Christian slaves and they had spiritual freedom, but not social and physical freedom. And there's a lot of people in America today, they're in so much debt and so many other things and binding them down. They're dark spiritually. They're not saved. They're just bound down with so many habits and problems in their life. Some people are in so much debt financially that even though they might not have shackles around their hands, there's a lot of chains in their life. Well, those who were saved, but even though they might have been owned by somebody else, they had that spiritual freedom, which was the greatest freedom of all. Paul gives them some scripture here on how to make it, how to interact, how to work with that person over you or under you. So our cultural ways are different, I know, but you know we can apply something. I've learned to apply several things in the Bible personally in my life, and I know sometimes people say, "Well, that's to the Jews." Well, yeah, it was to the Jews, and God gave it to them for several different reasons. Well, let's see if I can apply something from it out of that to my life. And not to put myself under bondage of the law, but is there anything to glean from what God's mindset about something? To understand it. So here is what I would talk about work ethic. Verse 22, servants. Boy, if we could ever get a hold of one of our most important jobs as a Christian is to be a servant, then this wouldn't bother us. And if we could understand that. Well, he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. So look at the work ethic. How we work is affected by who we believe we're working for. When I learned that ultimately, when I got saved, that Rhodes Furniture was no longer my master, my boss, and the men that I worked under and the women I worked under in that authority, and I went from a warehouse grunt. First day on the job, I sliced open a recliner. I mean, I ripped its guts out. It was spilling out everywhere. You can't put that phone back in when you've razored it up right in front of the general manager. My heart went, boom. That's going to be a record. Fired on the first day of the job. And the man probably should have fired me, but he didn't. He just shook his head. He said, it's okay. Because I was mouth shaking, about ready to cut him and me both, probably. He says, it's okay. Let me teach you how to do this. Because he didn't teach me. So I was cutting and ripping. I was going to cut some boxes and put some furniture together. I was going to work. And I cut it up. He told me to cut it on the bottom. He trained me a little bit, invested a little time with me. And I can't say I never did anything damaging again in that 15 years, but I learned from my mistake, and I learned to respect that man. He was one of the greatest managers, gentlest man that I'd ever worked for all those years. And I still remember his name and his face to this day. I learned from that, that's the kind of man, manager, boss, I want to be. And one day, I was the warehouse manager. Now, I never made general manager. I, you know, never made it that high up the ladder. But I did learn some things. But when I learned along the way, when I got saved, and I started getting grounded in the Word of God, that I actually worked for God more than I worked for anybody at that place. And that standard, that application of that standard, that I'm working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they're going to get the best employee, at least one of the best employees that they got in that whole place, because my standard is working for the King. It changed the way I worked. Yeah. It changed things. You got a lot of excuses people have made. You know, my boss is this, and the other employees around me are that. Well, if I'm working for the Lord, working for my boss, I'm not going to be tunnel vision, but sometimes you have to be tunnel vision. Sometimes you just put the blinders on and get it done. I've cleaned up puke. I've cleaned up poop. I've done all kinds of stuff. I never back-talked the manager, whatever they wanted done, and I even look for things to do. My mom taught me to do that. Or somebody did. I don't know who gets credit for it, but I taught my boys. I said, when you get done, whatever they tell you, you go find your boss and you tell them, I'm done as far as I can understand. And you want to look things over and then give me something else to do. You do that, you'll keep a job. You'll have a pretty good relationship. Not say perfect, not everybody's perfect. But you'll keep a job. I've never been fired with that kind of situation in my life. I've wanted to quit 1,000 times from some places I work for. And I have quit some places. But I've never been fired for, as Gomer said, insufficiency or insubordination or whatever it was. Amen. I was able to keep the job. Yes, I made mistakes, but because of the ethic was there in other places, there God gave favor with these people, and I didn't get fired. And they forgave me. I could have got fired the first day on that job. They let me stay there. I ended up doing several other positions along the way. And then had a livelihood for my wife and for my children because of that. So we look at these verses and our work ethic. And I want you to get this thought. How we work is affected by who we work for. And you get up in the morning and go, oh, Lord, help me. I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to see Mr. or Mrs. so-and-so and deal with them all day long. It's miserable. It is a miserable life. It's horrible. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with changing jobs. Sometimes you have to change. Sometimes it might be best to pray. But you got to pray about it. You may have a witness there that's important that needs to go beyond that you're not getting the notification that you think you should get or the work is hard. And sometimes that might be more important with staying in the trenches, as they say. We work for the Lord, and He's my boss. And the Scripture says here, not with eye service, not with somebody looking at you. I remember learning this. I learned this from a friend of mine. Actually, my brother Wade back there lives next to one of the men that I used to work with. I've got to be real careful. But I worked with a couple of men there, and I remember one of the men been there 30-something years. He was one of the hardest working men that I ever worked around. And when he got ready to take a break, he took a break. He didn't care who was coming or whatever. I remember one time we unloaded a whole tractor trailer full of furniture. And when it was summer there, no AC, it was hot, and the fans would blow, and all it did was blow hot air on you. And when I got home every day, Brother Jerry, I'd be soaking wet from one layer to the next completely. And drive home with 260 AC in my little Honda City. That means two windows down and it won't go no faster than 60 miles an hour. And I was wet when I got home. Now I remember us unloading that truck and let's take a break. So we sit down and take a break. A lot of them, Brother Bobby, they took breaks every time they could take a break. They'd take breaks all day long technically. But when David took a break, he felt he deserved it because he worked hard, and everybody there knew he worked hard. Now, I remember this day, our manager come back from the showroom to the warehouse. There's two different worlds of people back there. And he come through the door, people jumping up, grabbing stuff to work on, and act like it was easy, wiping the furniture. And David just sat there drinking his Coca-Cola. And I remember, Brother Josh, I flinched. I thought I was going to be like the rest of them. And he stood there, so I stood with David. I was going to see what's going to go down. So he goes down, I'll just claim stupidity or ignorance or something. Man, boss came up there and talked to him, asked him how things was going. He said, we got the whole truck unloaded. He said, did you find that piece I was looking for? Yes, sir, I did. We'll get it delivered here in just a few minutes. He's taking a break because he said, no problem, I understand. He said, I appreciate it. And he walked away. And the rest of them was just trying to eye service and men pleasing, trying to look good in front of the boss. And you know how people do that, trying to work their way up the ladder and things like that. And they'll step on other people to do that. And I learned a little something from that man that day is that if I work my hardest as I can, I shouldn't worry about what everybody else thinks. Because either I got something left or I don't. Either I'm giving my best to the Lord or I am not. And I found when I did that, I didn't have to worry about what everybody else thought about me. And some people will criticize, you know they will. They'll think you're trying to do it for some other reason. You're trying to please. Well, that day you can tell that man, when he's sipping that Coke, I said, I like this guy. But I learned when I kind of yoked myself up with him, he worked me like a dog. He'd work and work till he felt it was time for him to take a break, not when I was ready to take a break. But I learned a work ethic from others with great work ethics. We shouldn't have to work to impress the human manager, amen, over us or other employees around us. We should, as the Bible said, verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You out there tomorrow and you're more worried about impressing the boss or the customer, and they have their positions. I know we need to take care of things, but if you're working for the King, all the fallout will take care of everybody else you're working for. Now, I know many in this church, you have a similar style of work ethic, and maybe you didn't know it or not. I believe it's a biblical influence, a spiritual influence that God wants us to have. I believe it glorifies the Lord when a Christian's one of the best ones on the ship.
Yes, sir.
He's one of the best ones. She's one of the best ones at that place. That boss knows she's going to take care of it, or he's going to take care of it. It's going to get done. And I remember one time I was even asked to lie as a Christian. I said, what did you do, preacher? I told him, I'm not going to lie for you.
Amen.
I'll take care of it. I'm not going to lie and tell them something else happened, the reason their table didn't get delivered. I knew what happened. Somebody stole it and gave it. You ever heard rob Peter to pay Paul? Well, we did that every day, and it drove me crazy. And then finally, Peter, James, and John, and Bartholomew want to know where their furniture was. So, anyway, I told him, I'm not going to lie for you, sir, but I'll take care of it. So I went and got it. I put it together, put it in my little Honda Civic, turned it into a delivery truck after hours on my way home, not on my way home from work. And took care of it, because I'd rather do that than lie.
Amen.
I'm going to lie for him. Amen. So I wasn't trying to be goody two-shoes or act like I'm better than somebody else. I'm trying to be a Christian and work for God, work for the King. And I earned respect around there that took years to earn. And you know, you can lose that respect by one lie, one cover-up, one cuss word, one little slip. You can mess that testimony up. If you earn that testimony, guard it precious. It's very, very important. So don't worry about impressing the manager or everybody else. Do it unto the Lord heartily with your heart. And all them other people, they'll be impressed. They'll take notice of it. You'll be one of the best ones. One time I went in, I got a little cocky, as they say the word is. And I got thinking, and this shows you how old I am. And some of y'all older ones are going to laugh because you're going to think, that ain't nothing. I just make 10 cents an hour. But I only made about, I don't know what it was, $6 an hour. Now I know that's hard to believe anybody could survive. I got to thinking, I'm worth a raise. I went in there, I went right to the boss. I said, can I sit down and talk with you? He said, sure. I sat down and said, Mr. Jones, I've been here about a year now. He said, I might get a raise, and just want to let you know, it's been a year, and I'm on my raise. He said, well, we'll have to think about that. All our raises are frozen. We'll have to look at that real good. He said, how much you thinking? And I said, it don't matter. He said, okay, don't matter. I'll give you 10 cents. I said, thank you, sir. And I went out the door. I said, you dummy, we should have asked for more than nothing. I worked hard for that 10 cents, and it wasn't too long. I also, the Lord taught me, let the Lord promote you and not yourself. Oh, I got scripture here. I got to get to you. Here it is. Psalm 75:6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south. What's left? The north. Above. Promotion comes from God.
Right.
And instead of going in and asking, I need to learn to let realize that I just need to keep working for God and He'll take care of it. I learned that. I quit going and asking for raises. I counseled somebody else in the church about that last year. And I said, well, you know, if it's been a while, just pray that hopefully he'll remember his words. Not every boss remembers their words. I'll give you a raise in a year. Boy, that's a lot of chatter sometimes, ain't it? 10 years later, it can happen. But it wasn't too long later after that that they wanted a bookkeeper, and they thought somehow I could go from cutting chairs open wrong to counting money. That ain't the favor of God. I don't know what in the world is. And they said this would be Monday through Wednesday. Tuesday's Friday. I don't even know my day's good. Monday through Friday. No more missing church. I was having to work every other Sunday at times, working in inventory, opening furniture and stuff. And it was amazing. And I was so excited. I wasn't even worried about the money, but I did get a little bit more money. And I got banker's hours. Big shot then. I got to wear a shirt and a tie. Boy, I thought I was something else. Till I figured out all the mess of payroll. And on payday, when everybody come in there complaining about they didn't get their money or they didn't get their holiday pay or they didn't get their commission, I thought I was going to be bald-headed by the time I got done with that job. But I learned about it. On the way, God promoted me. The work ethic is in these scriptures. To work from our heart and do it from our heart, as the Bible says, Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 22 says, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Heartily, only one time it's mentioned in the Bible, the word heartily here, like this. The focus, the motivation comes from within you. Now, it's one thing to get up and work for your wife and your children or work for your family to pay the debts and the bills and things like that. But boy, when you get beyond that, and this is a way to minister, this is the way to show forth that God has changed my life. He's working in my life. And it's just way bigger than my bank account. I'm working for God. Yeah, you say it's almost insane. It sounds kind of crazy and weird. But it changes everything about the stress that you go through on a job. Nothing wrong with having other motivations and meeting goals, but when you do those goals and then you say, I'm going to give God the glory for those goals that are met. Knowing God gave the wisdom, God gave the strength, and you didn't have to try to please everybody else along the way. Whether they get pleased or not doesn't matter, because if you please the one that matters most, I promise you, others will pay attention to that. I believe without any doubt, because I've been a part of that. This from the heart phrase gives us the thought, as in verse 22 talks about singleness of heart. It means a simple focus. If I had to go into place and to please the president and the vice president of the company and then the general manager and the manager and the area manager, and I had to worry about all those little Indians and chiefs all the time, it'd drive you crazy. But I go in and say, I'm going to work for God. Simple focus. My character, I don't steal, I don't cheat, I don't lie, I won't stab them in the back. I'll go the extra mile. When you start going the extra mile, when some people are going half a mile and one-tenth of a mile, and you go in twice, you'll stand out. People will notice it. God will start giving you promotion. He'll give you blessing. He'll give you responsibility. Now, if you're looking for not working and being everything going smooth, well, my Bible says a man don't work, shouldn't eat. If you don't put in some time and energy into things and think it's all going to be a free ride, I know there's some jobs out that light there. It drives me crazy. I've had some jobs where all they wanted to do was just wait till they was ready for me. I remember working in the hospital. We did the patients, and the patient board might have one or two patients on it. Some days it'd be filled with patients. But on those days when it was empty, everybody standing around talking. Drove me crazy. You know what I did? I went and cleaned every stretcher, every wheelchair. I restocked every towel. I looked for things to do. It drove the other people crazy. You need to slow down. Quit. You're going to get us in trouble. I said, I can't just stand here all day long and do nothing. And I went from part-time to full-time in 2 months. They couldn't promise me full-time. They just said, part-time, get your foot in the door. So how'd you get your foot in the door? The police helped me get my foot in the door. One of the men that works part-time there, full-time there, he wouldn't pay his child support. He wouldn't pay his alimony. The police come out there to kind of assist him with that. And he ran out the door, and we never saw him again. And you know who was next in line? Me. And they said, we need to talk to you, Brian. I said, yes, sir. And they said, how would you like a full-time job? I said, I'll take it. I went from 3 days a week to 40-plus hours. Just like that, be able to take care of my needs. But I prayed about it and I worked. It goes together, amen? A slave could be beaten to do what they're supposed to do. A slave could find a lot of other motivations. But if we do it for God, focus on God's glory from our heart, fearing God, seeking Him to get the glory and praise for it, rather than fearing what everybody else thinks or fearing what man thinks all the time or focusing on everybody else and just focus on God. Listen, it's not the bottom line, it's the Bible line. That's the most important line. If you do that, I promise you, you'll elevate the company. You'll help do things. I remember selling things. I worked at another furniture store in between when that place went bankrupt. I went to Farmer's Furniture. Is there one around here? I don't know. This guy, I sat down in an interview. He said, sell me this pen. So I took his pen apart and I started talking about the spring. Hair was just rolling and just a bunch of jive talk. He said, you're hired. I've never been a salesperson in my life. And that's what they hired me. You talk about a seat of your pants. I've done it a few times.
Amen.
Got in there and had salesman of the month. I had more sales than anybody else and got a free DVD VCR combo. That tells you how old I am. People got jealous, got aggravated with me. I got a lot of persecution and things in areas. What did you do? Just kept working for the God instead of working for the man. Just kept working for God. Just kept doing my best. Earned some respect. Was able to witness to some people. And then it wasn't long. Across the street, the hospital called me. And that's when I went over there. It hadn't been easy. Every step wasn't just a silver spoon and everything paid. I had to work to have a work ethic. Amen. Yeah. I had to put some energy into it. But if righteousness can... The Bible said righteousness exalteth the nation and sin is a reproach to any people. If that works for a nation, then righteousness can exalt the company. And if I do my best under the authority that I have for the Lord, I believe it elevates that whole company, takes care of things. Got one boss to please, amen? If I do that, you'll be one of the best employees that that place will have. So that's a few thoughts of the work ethic. Not with eye service, not trying to do it so somebody sees that it's done. You just do it because God's watching you. Yes. And then we look at the work expectation. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord. Now what a thought. Who writes my paychecks? God. I tell you, God can shut your company down overnight. They can call on the intercom. Everybody, please come to the dining room area for an important meeting. And told everybody at the furniture store, we're filing for bankruptcy, closing in 90 days. That can happen really quick. And some of you might have experienced where you got called in and they sent you going right out the door that very moment. So who's going to take care of your needs? Well, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the things you need in life, He will add unto you. He'll take care of you. He is the provider of those things. So my expectation is a reward or a payday comes from the Lord. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
Now, inheritance is such a rich word for thinking, oh, I'm going to inherit it. I'm going to go to Walmart and inherit Mr. Sam Walton's. I'm not talking about you're going to get what you're supposed to get when you earn for your labor and your wages. But the inheritance of the Lord is way beyond this little old world that we're living in. You're going to get rewards and treasures laid up in heaven for faithfulness of your service and how you and I glorify the Lord and serving Him and living for Him. And you learn some things about faith. If you're not saved tonight, I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, it's a walk of faith. And there's work involved in that walk as well. But you learn some things about God along the way. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ signs my checks. It's out of the bank account of Almighty God. Never has He been negative. I wish I could tell you this, that I've had some bank accounts over the years that they went negative. Now, if you don't know what that's like, you ought to praise the Lord. You don't know what that's like. But I put that card in the gas machine before, and my car was already on fumes, and then it said declined. Now, I didn't have to bang the machine and go yell inside. I knew why it was declined. There wasn't no money in there. I just thought I could get by and tread water for a couple more days until it all caught up. But it didn't. What's the answer to that, preacher? Put money in the bank. Quit spending more than you make.
Yeah.
Don't spend it on things you don't need until you can. Amen. I learned a whole lot. My poor wife, she probably already knew all of it, but I went to school and she had to watch. She had to suffer with me a lot of those years. But I learned along the way, and I started getting some things right and working for Him and putting things in line, learning that I didn't need to put myself in all these different situations along the way, needed to apply things Scripture to my life, apply the Word of God, even if it was in the book of Proverbs and Old Testament, it had a real-time application that the borrower is serving to the lender. So I began to learn some of these things and learn how to be a giver like God wanted me to give and tithe and give unto the Lord and to learn how to give to missions. And God began to just bless and flow through me and take care of my needs according to His riches. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Let Him exalt you. Let Him pick you up. Let Him give you the raise. Let Him promote you. Let somebody else's lips praise you and not your own. You ever been around somebody that brag on themselves all the time? Do you like those people? You say, well, you've been bragging about your work ethic. Well, I've been also trying to teach you that I didn't have one either at times. And I learned a lot the hard way. I went to the school of hard knocks. Amen. I had to learn a lot of things the hard way sometimes. So I'm trying to pass along a few things to you. But some people, they brag about themselves and they never give God glory for anything. And those people are hard to work with and be around. And you'll also find that God's not going to bless them and promote them. You say, well, look at some of these people in the world. Some of these preachers, they're rock stars and superstars. Yeah, their day is going to come. They're going to give an account to God for every deed they've done. And even if they're saved, whether I wonder about some of them, regardless of whether they're even saved or not. That jet that they're flying and all this kind of stuff, the life that they're living. You heard about that Jim Baker back in the day had an air-conditioned doghouse. You got church members with no AC? Your dog sure shouldn't have AC. Well, a little Fluffy needs it. Well, give it to Fluffy.
That's right.
Give Fluffy to somebody else. It's crazy some of the things that go on. And that gives the temptation and the idea and the work culture that I'm owed something and it's okay to steal from you. I've worked with people who thought it was okay to steal from the company. You're undermining your own foundation.
Sure.
Stealing from your own company. You may not have a company down the line. You ought to be working for ways to pick up the bottom line, to help there be a profit. Yeah, somebody's going to get a bigger piece than you, but maybe you'll get a 10-cent raise. Maybe you'll get a quarter. Maybe you'll get a promotion. To receive of the Lord of the inheritance For ye serve, what does it say? For ye serve the Lord Christ. I'm going to hurry. He that doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong. There's no respect to persons with God. He's not going to let a righteous person live like a wicked person and get away with it. He's going to chasten those that are his own. He's going to do it to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And what that means is he's going to whip our tails so we can see righteousness come forth as a fruit of our life. He's going to, just like a good father will, he's going to spank us or chasten us to get us lined up right, that it will glorify him and it'll be a right example to this world. So we're required in our work ethic to commit and submit. Now, many of you that were in the military, you have a different work ethic because of that. You didn't say, well, listen here, I don't agree with this general or sergeant. You never did that. If you did, you didn't do it but once. Well, that same ethic and respect can be applied to all other areas of work and submission and commission and interaction. And if you slack or omit or steal, there'll be no respect to persons. You should get what you should get. Get caught, get fired, get in trouble, whatever, have to pay restitution. All those things are in the scriptures. God doesn't want us to have respect to persons. He doesn't want us to treat someone different. He doesn't want us to expect it from somebody either. You ever been around somebody that they were related to somebody in the military or related to somebody at work, and because they were the son or the daughter or whatever, they get this favoritism or this respect? Boy, that's a cancer to the culture of that place.
Yes, it is.
Same way within churches. I know of a pastor who without even the church's consideration of it, just put his son right in there as an assistant. And it destroyed the whole church eventually. They ended up closing the whole building down. They ended up being splintered and moved out. And I got to thinking about it. And I said, man, I don't know if that was a real wise move right there. You know that Joseph was hated by his brothers and favoritism even from good people. God doesn't want us to have respect, to expect it or to execute it on someone else. Someone is wrong, they're wrong. Covering up for people that work in places and get rewards or whatever and promotions, if it's not based on production and their work ethic rather than something false or favoritism, it puts the balance of things out of whack.
It does.
Now, I don't know this to be true, but I tell you, some of these shootings going on in the workplaces, there's stuff behind the scenes that might have happened years of respect to persons where they go in and they're fed up and innocent people die because people just cannot line up with simple, single focus of heart on doing things a biblical way at the workplace. God hates a false balance. The book of Proverbs said they'd take the weights and they'd say this weight's 10 when it was really different. They'd charge more and they'd say what you sold me was weighed less than what it really is. And they cheated people. And God said that was an abomination. And that same kind of stuff that puts things out of whack at the workplace or in a work culture causes problems. He that doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong. Now, we might think some people going to get away with stuff in this world, but one day God, everybody's going to stand before God in judgment. And that's why it's important. Just keep working for God. You know, these businesses will come and go. Kingdoms are going to come and go and fall. He'll set kings up. He'll take them down. But one day we're all going to stand before God. And you're going to want to be at the judgment seat of Christ where believers belong. And not at the great white throne where unbelievers will be. And everything's going to be brought out and shouted out from the housetops. And if you just singleness of heart, focus and we'll work for God. Do it for God. Heartily as unto the Lord. Not trying to do it with eye service so I can be seen. But do it because it's right to do it to serve and please the Lord. I had a deacon not here. But I had a deacon one time. My first church. I remember taking up an offering. And we was praying and we were both looking at each other. So I guess I was as guilty as he was on not looking down and closing my eyes when I was praying. But I was, so somebody was praying over the offering, and I peeked up. Y'all ever do that? Preachers peek and look at you guys. Y'all know that happened. Don't put your finger in your nose or something like that. I'll catch you. But he was looking up at me, and when he saw that I was looking, he pulled out his $100 bill, looked at it, looked back up at me, put it in the plate. And I couldn't help. I never said nothing to him, but I did obviously preach and teach it. But the Bible says, verily, you have your reward.
Yes.
If you're doing that for somebody else to see that, you are letting men give you the pat on the back. You are shortchanging yourself. You are losing the reward from God and getting it from people like me and you. Boy, you're talking about losing interest and value. I would rather do it unto the Lord.
Yes.
Just do it unto the Lord. He'll give you that raise, or if you'll put God first, say, man, I got to be in church like I need to be. I need to do my raise my family like I need to be. God knows the finances like they need to be. And just keep your eyes on God. I promise you, promise you, promise you. Been on the other side of that. He'll move you or give you another position or move you somewhere else altogether. Because he'll take care of those who seek him.
Yes, he will.
And he'll send the reception of judgment and chastisement, payday, on those who do wrong. He's no respecter of persons when it comes to that. I'm glad I work for someone like that. I'm glad I work for one who's got truth and equity about him. He's the same every day I go to work, every day I get up, every day I live. My God is the same. His word is the same. Takes the stress off of that. Makes it easier to focus. It's a good truth in the scriptures about some things that are real life application. Some people think the Bible's not relevant for today because of some kind of scripture like that. But I've just shown you, you can apply it to what where we're living now. And it is very helpful.
Yes.
It's very powerful. It changes the way things are seen. And if a master would treat the person under them the way God valued them, they wouldn't spit on them. They wouldn't wipe their feet on them. They wouldn't cut throat and they wouldn't put them down. They'd look for ways to promote them. They would look to take care of them the best way they could. They'd give them bonuses. They would think about their family, because if they do that, it's part of the kingdom of God and it'll elevate their own little world as well. Those are the principles that you learn from being a believer. Sister Becky, why don't you come play for us? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know where your heart is. I don't know what your burdens are. I don't know if you're having trouble at work. It might not have anything to do that you're falling short in some area. It may just be that you are trying to do your best, but there's just been a lot of pressure and problems there, and you just need some help from the Lord. Boy, get your mind on the Lord. I'm working for the King. I'm working for Him, not the general, not the boss man, not the teacher, not the owner. I'm working for the King of Kings. God said, He supplied all your need according to His riches. His riches. He has riches of salvation and grace and mercy, and He has all the things you need in your life. He can clothe your family, clothe your back, put food in your belly, shoes on your feet. He's a faithful God. You'll never go wrong trusting in Him. Never go wrong seeking Him. Follow. Anybody here say, preacher, pray for me. I got some needs in my life. I need prayer. I'm going through some troubles and trials and work situation. Yes, sir. I got some burdens and things going on. Yes, sir. I need singleness of heart. I need a simple focus. Get my eyes back on the Lord and let Him take care of everything. That stress off of me. Just focus on working for the King. Father, you see the hands that have gone up. You know the hearts. You know the need. God, I pray you speak peace to their situation. God, you know it. I pray, Lord, with all of us, God, set our affections on things that are above. May we look unto you as the author and finisher of our faith. May we please you, God, and glorify you. Not try to please other people around us, Not try to be seen and get credit, but God, just do it unto the Lord heartily. I pray you'll honor that. Others could see Jesus working in our life, could see your grace and mercy in our life. Lord, help us all. Every one of our responsibilities, whatever it may be, even the retired. Lord, as they're retired and thinking about their lives, boy, they can think about, I'm still working for the King. He's still going to take care of me. Get their eyes off of the situations of Social Security and all the woes and problems and shortages. Bankruptcy of our nation, that God, get our eyes on you. Our help cometh from the Lord. Thank you, God, for a proper focus found in the Scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray.